Welcome, friends. This is Ingrid Lockemeyer, and you are listening to Tell Me a Story. This is episode 2. About 10 years ago, author and motivational speaker Simon Sinek recorded a TED Talk titled Start With Why. In the 10 years since that was posted on YouTube, it has been viewed over 50 million times. Sinek wrote 2 books that have been bestsellers, Start With Why and Find Your Why. And all of his work points us to the reality that we can't talk about what we want to do or how we want to do it until we know why we want to do it. In the future, we're going to talk a little more about how to preserve and share our stories and what to do with them. But today, I think it's important to help you understand why we would start with the why of our stories, why our personal stories matter, and why it's important to own and to honor them. Author Isaac Dinesen, a memoirist who wrote the book Out of Africa and a story titled Babette's Feast, both of which have become Academy Award-winning motion pictures, had this to say about story, straight and simple. To be a person is to have a story to tell. I really do agree with that statement. I first started thinking about the importance of our stories, not back when I was a journalist, as I explained in the first episode of this podcast, but a little bit later when I encountered a supreme storyteller, Daniel Taylor, at a conference known as Festival of Faith and Writing. Mr. Taylor has kind of made it his life's work to help people understand the value of our stories. And he's inspired me to join the cause and help others to capture and share life stories. Daniel Taylor wrote a book that just really turned me in this direction. It's titled, Tell Me a Story. In his book, he says, "When within the movement of story and the act of storytelling reside the best answers we have to life's perennial questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Who are you? And what will happen to us when we die?" Our first why, according to Mr. Taylor, is to know ourselves. Who am I? Where did I come from? We can have a hand in helping those who come after us to learn the answers to those questions if we record some of the stories from our lives and leave them for others to discover. About 15 years ago, my husband and I took our 2 youngest sons and my parents to Canada for a family reunion. My maiden name is Wilson, and the Wilsons moved to Canada from Scotland around 1800. My dad has always been fascinated with his family heritage as a Canadian and also as a Scotsman. While we were in Canada for those few days, meeting all of these cousins we never knew existed, we were able to get our hands on a book that had been put together of the heritage, of the lineage of the Wilson family. And in there were several typewritten and copied pages from journals written by members of the Wilson family as they began their life together in the 1800s in Canada. Here's an excerpt from one of them. "Times were hard in Scotland, and Grandfather Wilson saw little prospect of any better for his children. So after learning all he could about the new land, he decided to come to Canada." That starts the story of the Wilson clan moving to Canada, and eventually other family members joined them there. Grandfather Wilson brought a wife and 5 children. Of course, they had more children once they settled on the Canadian prairie. And he wrote about the hardships of life there. In one page, he's telling the story of his wife's sister who was binding grain behind her husband. Her husband was cradling or cutting the grain. And this is what he wrote. "She became aware that the next member of the family was about to arrive. She went and found a comfortable spot to lie. When the baby arrived, she wrapped it in her petticoat, fed it, lay beside it for a short time to rest, and then went back to binding grain. That explains a lot about the Wilson men. My father and his three brothers came from hardy stock, no doubt inherited from the Wilson women. This truth was not lost on my dad, a man who found great pleasure in a job well done. You might remember from episode one that some of my dad's stories about growing up during the Great Depression are in a little book that we self-published. And in the future, I'm going to help you figure out how to put your own stories into a book that you can share with family and friends. But this story that we now have in our hands in a black notebook on a bookshelf, is proof that, as Daniel Taylor wrote, no one story exists alone. He says, each is tangled up in countless others. Pull a thread in my story and feel the tremor half a world and two millennia away. He also says this, we live in stories the way fish live in water, breathing them in and out, buoyed up by them, taking from them our sustenance, but rarely conscious of this element in which we exist. We are born into stories. They nurture and guide us through life. They help us to know how to die. Stories make it possible for us to be human. In my own experience, I've found that even stories that are not fully true, but are made up, as in works of fiction, help us to know and understand ourselves. No doubt the works of fiction that have impressed me through the years have some root in a true life story. We can hardly write fiction without drawing from our own lives. Two works of fiction that I read this summer that had really a profound impact on my ability to know and understand myself were Hannah Coulter, a book written by Kentucky author Wendell Berry, and The Shell Seekers by British author Rosamund Pilcher. In Hannah Coulter, the seventh book written by Berry and the first one that had a female voice telling the story, Hannah, who is now elderly, recounts the love that she has for the land and for her community. And she remembers each of her two husbands, all the places and the community connections that were threatened by 20th century technologies, which is the time in which she's narrating her story. At risk is the whole culture of family farming, hope redeemed when her wayward and once lost grandson, Virgil, returns to his rural home place to work the farm. We're a farming family. My husband grew up on a farm. And while we don't farm now, we own property that is farmed by someone who works alongside us. And reading Hannah's story helped me to learn some things about myself. The Shell Seekers is the story of one family and of the passions and the heartbreak that have held them together for three generations. At the end of a long and useful life, Penelope Keeling's prized possession is The Shell Seekers, a painting by her father that symbolizes her unconventional life, from a bohemian childhood to wartime romance. When her grown children learn their grandfather's work is now worth a fortune, each of them has an idea as to what Penelope should do with it. But as she recalls the passions, the tragedies, and the secrets of her life, she knows there is only one answer, and it lies in her heart. I'm going to link to both of these books in the notes for this episode, to Hannah Coulter by Wendell Berry and to The Shell Seekers by Rosamund Pilcher. But I can tell you now that Hannah, in her reminiscences, helped me to understand what is important in life. She taught me how to live. And Penelope, through her determination and the decisions she faced, showed me how to exit this world gracefully. She taught me how to die. I wouldn't see myself in these two excellent works of fiction if I didn't already know myself, at least a little. The philosopher Socrates is credited with saying, "To know thyself is the beginning of wisdom." And Solomon in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, also gave us the same bit of counsel. when he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." To know thyself is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's one thing I've learned in the 50 years I've been a follower of Christ, it's that knowing myself is key to knowing and fearing or submitting to God. The longer I've considered all the ways that events and people and decisions in my life have impacted me, the closer I come to understanding God's love for me and why he created men and women in his image. Keeping a record of my life, in a real sense, numbering my days by writing down the stories of my life, has given me a means for looking back and, yes, for finding myself. My stories and the stories of those around me have played a role in shaping and in giving direction to my life. Another quote from Daniel Taylor, because he's just so wise, is this: "Stories like mother's milk are rich with nutrients from which life grows." On June 16, 1858, Abraham Lincoln was giving the first important speech of his political career. The House Divided Speech, as it was titled, was an address at what was then the Illinois State Capitol in Springfield, Illinois, after he accepted his state's Republican Party nomination as U.S. Senator. That speech included now famous and timely words, actually quoted from the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 25. Lincoln said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Those words apply to our lives in our country today. And it's interesting to me that in that speech, Lincoln also said something that applies to what I'm sharing here at Tell Me a Story. He said this: "If we could first know where we are and whither we are tending, or what we are doing, what we're taking care of, then we could better judge what to do and how to do it." I think Lincoln was telling us what Simon Sinek was trying to tell us 10 years ago, that we need to start with why. Why we're doing what we're doing? Why are things happening the way they are? Why is this happening in my life? And why is it worth capturing and sharing? We know our stories matter. They matter for many reasons. As I've shared, they can provide a legacy, a family legacy. They can also inspire someone. They might be available as encouragement to someone. And they're valuable to you just as a way to get to know yourself better. It's my hope that you will begin to capture some of your stories. And when I say capture, I mean simply write them down or record them on your phone. I know you share stories all the time. You share things on Instagram and Facebook, but these are stories that maybe have a little more depth and truth to them and perhaps have meaning to people who are close to you in your life, or meaning that you will be able to share with others as you go forward in life. That's the point of this whole podcast. Our stories matter. Let's capture them and let's share them and let them do the work that they were intended to do. This has been episode 2. I hope you'll join me next week as we talk a little more about getting to know ourselves and starting with the who. You are the who of your stories. Listen in next time, and I'll see you then.